In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning to you. It's been a great, great weekend for me, being from Dallas and in St. Louis for really what amounts to the very first time. And I know that, I assume that you don't allow the first-time guest to walk into the pulpit and tell you what they think, but since I've got the pulpit and I've got the mic, I'm going to tell you how impressed I am with St. Michael and St. George. What a beautiful, beautiful camp. I know you know this, but sometimes because you're here all the time, you just may forget. This is a beautiful, beautiful place. I mean that about your facilities, your campus, your location. I mean that about your people. It's been such a good time and a joy to meet your leadership and to find them to be so warm and hospitable. And let me tell you something else you already know. You know what a great staff team that you have, what a great clergy team that you have. So thanks from me for the opportunity just to meet you, to know you, to be with you, and to learn from you. And I say all the nice things first, because Jesus says some hard things, and I thought I'd try to soften you up at the very beginning. Jesus doesn't always say hard things. He says nice things lots of times. He says, let the little children come to me, and that's nice. He says sometimes, come unto me, all of you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. And that's nice. But this parable today, it's hard. It's hard to hear. If you've been coming regularly over the last few weeks, you've been hearing Jesus say hard things to us about how we handle our worldly possessions. He says, if God can't trust you with handling your worldly possessions well, how can he entrust heavenly riches to you? That's a hard thing to say. You can't serve God and you can't serve money. You've got to choose one, Jesus says. That's tough to hear. And then this story. This story. He says, if you have a servant and it's the end of the day, what would you think if your servant beat you into the house and sat in your favorite chair at the dining room table and said, hey, while you're up, why don't you whip up my favorite meal? Could you do that? Jesus said, you would think that's ridiculous. So think about how you relate to God, he says. Think about that. And I think what he's suggesting is that I'm supposed to think of myself as God's servant. And for me, that's hard. You know, it's really easy to get the wrong idea about our relationship with God. The things he invites us to do, they're so nice. He gives us promises like just ask and you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be open to you. That's so generous. And then he comes to us, this Jesus who picks up a towel and a bowl and kneels and says, I'll wash your feet, I'll clean you up. It's easy to get the wrong idea. It's easy to take for granted that he works for me. And here Jesus tells a story and he says, no, it's not that God wants to boss you around, but let's be clear. Take a servant's heart and remember that God is above you. He's not below you. To remember that I'm not to look down on God, that he's not waiting around the corner just waiting for me to ring the bell so that he can come and run my errand, that is different. It is hard. My dad's a helicopter pilot. I remember on the front of his truck, a way of sharing his faith, he had a tag that he kept on the front, and it said, you've probably seen them before, bumper stickers and little license plates. It said, God is my co-pilot. Really, Dad? Is that where he is? If someone could tell my father that that's not good theology, I'd appreciate it. I haven't worked up the nerve quite yet. We serve the God of the Exodus and of Easter, of Mount Sinai and Mount Calvary. We serve a great God. And I'm his servant. Now, I know how to be a servant in little ways. I've been entrusted with important things and great things for a little while. I've handled them pretty well. I have a friend in Dallas. His name's Daniel. I had to do some moving of furniture from one place to the other, and I just have little small cars. Daniel bought a brand new Ford 250 Forest Green King cab. We called it in Dallas a limo. That's a nice ride. Leather interior. And he gave me the keys to that truck. He said, hey, it's yours. Just use it as long as you want. Just give it back. And I felt the weight of the gift. And I slid into that King cab and turned that big engine over. Merle Haggard on the CD. Oh, I don't wear a cowboy hat, but if there had been one there, I'd have put it on. I felt the part. I remember using that truck all day long, being careful, going into a Burger King drive-thru, making sure the mirrors didn't hit the menu. And I remember a little compact car in front of me that just wasn't keeping pace like I thought it ought. And the thought occurred, I've got enough power right here. I can push us both through. It'll be easy. But I didn't, because that was Daniel's truck. I wouldn't put a scratch on it. He had trusted me with something so special. And I knew, at least for that moment, what it feels like to be entrusted with something significant. And Jesus says, don't forget that. Don't forget that the time you've been given is a gift from God. And He directs it. Don't forget that the talents and the gifts that we possess are the gifts God has given to us. What I do with them, it's my gift to God. My stuff. Jesus says that's His stuff. And as servant, listen to what He wants you to do with it. That's hard. I could shrug my shoulders and I could say, well, that's just Jesus talking. But I know some servants. People who think that way and live that way, and they mess up my whole deal with God because they're doing it. And I bet you could take your worship bulletin this morning and fold it and begin to make a list of names. People in this church, people that have come alongside you in your own journey with God and have lived that way, sacrificially, generously, recognizing that they serve God, and it's meant something to you. It's a good list to make. It's a hard list because I want to put my name down, but the pen's a little shaky. I've been thinking about Mr. Sorey, little man about to retire at a small church in Mississippi. He did two things really well. He drank coffee really well. Always walked around church with a styrofoam cup. Coffee and Mr. Sorey, two things that just went together. And he started this little ministry that was silly, I thought. He wanted to start a bus ministry, to take a bus, buy a school bus, and go to neighborhoods where kids weren't coming to church and elderly people didn't drive themselves. And he'd go pick them up, he thought, a bus. And the church was wise and said, who's going to buy the bus, Mr. Sorey? Well, the church needs to buy the bus. Who's going to pay for it? Are those kids you bring, are they going to pay for it? No. Who's going to pay for the gas? Who's going to pay for the repairs? The church was wise to ask those questions. Somehow he bought the bus, painted it himself green, drove around on a Saturday into neighborhoods, inviting people to come to church. It was really embarrassing. It was pushy. But people came. Bus full of noisy kids pulling into the parking lot, sitting in people's pew places. One little girl, little brunette ponytails, 6 years old, she stood on the curb every Sunday morning. Her parents made sure she was out there. Didn't take her to church, made her sure she was out there by the street. He'd come by and pick her up. She rode that bus for about 5 years. And at that church, she learned of God's love, joined God's family, sensed that God could use her in some dramatic way. And she's doing it. I married her. I'm so grateful for servants who live that way with God. It makes it hard for me when I read these words and know that Jesus means them to be taken seriously. Wayne Smith is a preacher up in Kentucky. He had concluded a sermon on stewardship, and a man walked out to shake his hand, was a little irritated by it all. And he said, "Brother Wayne, are you telling me that I can't go to heaven if I don't give my stuff to the church?" And Wayne said, no, I don't mean that at all. But I think some other people won't get to go if we don't give." That's a hard word. I played football for a little while, and I'll let the ridiculousness of that thought just kind of settle with you for a second. I was a little boy on a football team, and we had played against our arch rivals, the Bengals, and we were waiting for our coach to arrive at practice. And while we waited, we began to pay attention to the marks on our helmets, the transfer of paint from one helmet to the other. We were only 9, but it's still pretty rough. And boys began to point out at marks on their helmets, and they would say, "Look, see that orange mark right there? That was a Bengals game right there. I remember that. See that silver mark right there? That's Cowboys. Black mark? Well, the Steelers. I remember that game." And about 30 or 40 yards down from us, a group of about 5 little boys that didn't get in the game much gathered and circled around a large pine tree. And they were taking their helmets and pounding the bark, trying to transfer some of that black bark onto their helmets. And I saw that ridiculous sight, and I thought, fakes. Dishonest. Ridiculous. But I think back on those little boys now, and I feel differently about them. I think I know what they were doing. They wanted to get in the game. They wanted to get in the real game, where the stakes were high and where they mattered. Even if it meant being marked in some way themselves, they wanted it to show that they had played and invested. I think that's what they were doing. I think that's what all of us want to do. And Jesus says, get in the game. We do it first, remembering who leads us, and we come as his servants, and he pours into us his great gifts, and we can begin to see and imagine things that we can do and accomplish together that really, really matter. And Jesus' disciples heard that, and they said, "Please, Jesus, increase our faith." And we can say here, in this place, "Jesus, help us. Increase our faith so that we can live and make a difference at that level. We're your servants, and we'll do what you ask us." Amen.